Josh Pate, SEC Media Days. What's up, man?
Mike, would you like some hand sanitizer? I don't know what you've done the last 5 minutes.
Please.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Literally came running from the bathroom.
Do you want to show the prop that you brought out here? There you go, people. That's the real thing, by the way. You thought you were going to get white trash, and you got white trash. It's right there.
Hey, when they say Pate's at the table, you come running, right? You know, because you are – I think you probably are the only one to hit every table in this radio row.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. I mean, you've been very active, and so you couldn't avoid us. Thanks for coming to the last one here.
Absolutely.
Appreciate having you on the face of college football, Josh Pate.
Stuff smells so good. I mean, you're talking to a guy who rarely washes his hands, so it smells great.
Do you do all media days? Or is there conferences that you do go to, don't go to, or is it just the best one here?
I'm not hitting the Patriot League this year, if you're asking. No, I do SEC. We'll do Big Ten next week. Those are the main two I hit. Although, I will say, I love what the Big 12 does in boom, boom, 48 hours, everybody comes in, it's done. Instead of a whole week. And now the trade-off is you get to meet a whole lot more people when you're there for 4 days. But the Big 12, we didn't do that one this year. We're just doing SEC and Big 10.
Yeah. They thought about condensing it to one day after Texas and Oklahoma left.
I heard. Yeah. I heard that. Well, I mean, leasing that place.
Yeah.
You're leasing that place. I mean, to heat and air and lighting, and it costs money, man.
I got to ask the question everybody's asking. Josh Pate too big?
Yeah.
You got a lot of haters out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, they're probably right. I mean, have we broken down hate by hate? A lot of them are right. We started doing that thing last year in the fall where you do, you know, like an analytical deep dive into, we called it Hate State, by the way. And what hurt me the most, and you guys know I'm a no-ego guy, of course,
yeah, right.
But what hurt me the most was some of them were right. And so I had to go back and do some self-scouting. You almost want to step away a little bit, and you almost want to say, who am I? What gives me the right? How dare me? So, yeah, they're out there, and maybe they should be.
Because I was unaware. Did you participate with the Netflix SEC documentary at all?
I did. I don't know how much I'm in it, but, yeah, we did some stuff with them.
Because, yeah, we watched the first episode. I don't know if you've seen it. They unveiled it for us the other night, and some of the LSU players are driving around listening to you. Discuss, you know, losing to Southern Cal, but I just thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, like, just to check though, they did lose, right?
They did.
Okay,
yeah.
They did lose the game. Okay, sometimes the truth is misconstrued as hate. Like, I mean, someone looks at me and says, "Josh, you don't have much hair." Well, I can call them a hater, or I can just see that their eyes are functioning properly. You know, you're right. I don't. I'd love to be better. I try, but it is what it is.
Is it weird though to know that, like? Again, this is a small slice, but it's a documentary. Players are driving around in their trucks listening to Josh Pate. Imagine 5-10 years ago. we're all like trying to get there, but you're there. What is that like for you?
Well, I love it. Well, here's what helps. I hang out with those dudes constantly. Like when we go on the road, that's all I do. And especially if you're in a facility, the most fun thing you could ever do is in the middle of spring. Well, the most fun thing you can do is go to a game. The second most fun thing is in the middle of spring, like if you go to LSU, you go down there, you sit with BK for a little while, go hang out with Blake Baker, like have him break down their defense or whatever. But then you just go lift with players. Or you go, I'm not going to say participate in summer workouts because that's not what I'm doing with them, but just intermingle during summer workouts. So like you get to know a lot of those guys. And more importantly, you get feedback from them. And one of the things I appreciate the most is when a dude will hit you up and just say, hey, you missed on this. But it's not, hey, I hate you, you missed on this. It's, hey, you didn't have all the information. Here's what you needed to know. You know, like my arm was in a sling all week, and we didn't show it at practice. But after they closed the gates to the media, I had to get injected with this before the game, or medically I was dealing with this, or whatever. So that stuff is worth a metric ton when it comes to layering, like, the informative nature of your takes. You're still going to whiff. Like, it's impossible to predict this stuff right. And what I'd like to do is, yeah, I'd like to all predict all the games right. What I want to do is at least have, like, substance and, like, logic-based reasoning behind what I say. And those dudes listening and coaches listening or parents of players listening, those are the ones who hit you up dozens of times a day, hundreds of times a day in the season. And you open every one of them because, like, they're in a position to know more than you could ever know.
So I'm always fascinated, man. I was like, I don't think Pate sleeps. Or he's got five minions working on his social media. You are everywhere all the time. I mean, what is the screen time for Josh Pate during a football season right now on your phone?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I know they measure that. I never look at it. I don't want to look at it. So here's the thing. If I were to have come out of college and I got a journalism degree and then I only knew this life, I would be foolish enough to call that a grind, to call what you just said a grind.
Right.
But I didn't come out of college in 4 years, period. I eventually made it out of college. It was a decade of dominance, man. I really look back fondly on that decade.
Dr. Pate is in the house.
But I didn't just do this. So I did a lot of manual labor. So what do you do on the job site all day? For anyone who has worked at construction, heating and AC, warehouses, whatever, you either listen to music or you listen to talk radio. That's all you listen to all day. So I listened to a little of both. Mainly it was talk radio. So that's what I wanted to do. Now, I was never going to be able to do it. At least at that time, my mind was such that I can never do that for a living. It's just not me. Like, I don't have access to that. Well, then fast forward, thank God I did have access to it. But because I've done real work, talking about a game's not work. Or traveling to a game's not work. It's actually what I would... Are we still on? Is the audio loud right now? Because I want to whisper this part. I would do it for free. I don't want anyone at CBS to know that, but I would do it for free. Because I remember thinking back in the day, if I could get a job that pays me enough money to pay my bills, I'd go cover college football on Saturday for free. So to have anything above and beyond that is like a blessing like you can't imagine for a kid who grew up loving college football. Like I watched the NFL. I watched the Braves. I never really been a basketball dude, but it was like college football as oxygen all year. So to be covering that, like I would talk about it 365 days for fun as a hobby when I had to work real jobs. So that's just, it's not even within the realm of my mind to think of that as any kind of like hard work. It's a bunch of hours, yeah, but it's doing what you want to do anyway.
Now that you're married, though, has it changed the evenings a little bit?
I was wondering, the grin grew to a smile during the answer. That's when you know someone's got something. They got a good follow-up. Here's the secret. Anyone who wants to know the secret to marriage, as it relates to football and making it work, what you want to do is you want to go and you want to find a girl who's been working for Nick Saban for several years, and you want to marry her because she gets it. And this could probably work if she's working for Kirby or Ryan Day. Mine just so happened to be working for Nick Saban, but she gets it. Not only did she get it, Shane, she said, upon our first few interactions, the kinds of things that you as the guy would normally have to say. For example, she said, you know, if we ever get there, we can't do fall weddings. We can't do that. And I had a tear in my eye. I had a tear in my eye, and I did the Sanford and Son grasp of the chest. Because that's normally a fight. I know so many of our brothers out there watching this. They fight this war unsuccessfully, so many casualties every year. And it's like being neutered, for lack of a better term, socially. Your ego and your pride take such a hit because you stood strong, 10 toes down. I'm never going to have a fall wedding. But then you met your girl and you realized that's a concession I'm going to have to make. Well, I never had to make the concession. So that's been really fun. And then we knocked all that stuff out in May. And it was a great time. And, I mean, you got someone who worked in the world of college football who gets the world of college football. That's the sweet spot. Because there are hardly any of those out there to begin with. And not just that, like, they happen to be gorgeous as well. And you get along with them. And you're compatible. And they actually can stand to be around you. All of the boxes checked. So that's been great, man.
So were you Greg's source for Saban coming back?
Oh, he's connecting the dots.
Here's the thing. If I knew that I could tell McElroy stuff and he would just blindly spout, I'd be a source for everything because that was entertaining to me. Now, when I walked up the stairs, because, you know, they're positioned right in front of the stairs you walk up, I was in my hotel room getting ready, happened to hear him say that on the air the other day. And, of course, it's Monday. He didn't wait till Thursday. Of course, it's right out of the gate. You know, I'm not saying myself, but I heard. When I walked up those stairs, I gave him the throat slash. which is a 15-yarder on Saturdays. Yeah, but you can do it at media days. They don't throw flags at media days. So I throat-slashed him hard because I knew I was about to go walk over to a CBS set, and I was going to have a producer in my ear saying, "Now, look, we want to hit the players and the coaches, but first thing we got to hit is the Saban thing." And I rolled my eyes so hard, they almost came back around. They almost did the full 360.
Wow. So you're probably learning football from your wife now. Is that an accurate assessment?
It's not even something that I'm ashamed of. It's the kind of thing where you're with someone who happens to have been in a position to have observed things, to have known things that you could never know. And we're still in an era where, you know, she was at Bama, and she was at Ole Miss with Freeze. She was at LSU with Miles. She was at Southern Miss when they went 0-12. You want to talk about cutting your teeth. Imagine working at Southern Miss and going 0-12. So she's been in the game recently enough to where most of the juniors and seniors who were playing this year, she either was involved in recruiting or is at the very least aware of. So, you know, like if you're watching Texas and there goes Colin Simmons making another play, well, I got his entire recruitment behind the scenes laid out for me in my ear sitting next to me. So the other part of that is she comes on the road a lot with me. And, you know, I've got good relationships with coaches. That a lot of them recognize her before they recognize me. So it's a very, very interesting dynamic just in terms of what would be normal in our business when guys have their wives next to their side versus what mine is like. I wouldn't trade it for anything, though.
I got to ask, because Cole rolled out a new podcast he's doing with the wife. Is family got something in the works?
Let's turn the chair around for this one. Let me go AC Slater on you. There have been talks. Now, I want to focus group something with you, both of you. Do you think, like I think, that you can never have too many hamburgers, okay? So every restaurant's got hamburgers. It's not like Wendy's looked and said, McDonald's already done that. We're not going to do hamburgers. They said, no, I think everyone wants hamburgers. We're going to make them. A little greasier, but we're going to make them. Do you think like that, or do you think, no, once one person has done it, no one else can do it? Because I'm in a little debate about this right now as it relates to doing the more couples-based, what's that genre even called? Tag team, intergender podcasting. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know, but honestly, I think it's smart because I don't know your analytics, obviously, but I know ours. It's around 90-95% male.
Yeah.
And if you do that, I mean, if you go that way, your audience could be massive in the other direction. You know.
Yeah. You may leave football. You may just do whatever that is. You know. He's not talking football. He said he's going.
Tuesday
I guess
night,
how to raise
night.
Children, yeah. And you know,
yeah. And you know,
Tuesday
he's
not date night.
He's not lying about it because there have been many times I called him and he'll text me back. It happens to be a Tuesday night. He goes, man, it's date night. So, hey, that podcast title was like the easiest one ever to come up with. But yeah, we're workshopping it. I think, man, look, hey, I could do a football related show with
her.
That,
yeah, that's the difference. Because she has that background, you have that background. It seems like that would be the route to go,
or a mixture of both. Here's what I do. So. Do you guys ever just do full mailbag episodes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know like I do, you get a plethora of different kinds of questions. So when I'll put out the call to action to do a mailbag show, it'll be about 80% football maybe. Some people will ask me about storm chasing or whatever. But they'll ask about relationship stuff, which I'm very ill-equipped to give like guided answers on. I think you were supposed to have a degree for that legally anyway. But I thought to myself, any given mailbag call to action I do, we probably have like 15 to 20 questions from just desperate at the end of their rope guys who would probably be much better served to hear from her to get the female perspective on it than they would me. Because I'm just going to sit there and go, suck it up. What mental health?
Man
I don't
up,
know.
Man.
And she would have a lot more, not so much a tender touch all the time, but a right. more informed feminine touch on it. And so I'm thinking about just feeding her all those questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jim from Chickasha wants to know this. I'll step aside. I'm going to go get a drink.
Believe it or not, most of our mailbag questions are about food.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's not. I just need you guys to know something, all right?
Yours is about hooking up with women, and mine's about, yes, you can have too many hamburgers.
I need you to know at home, it wasn't the ours is about food. It was the ours is about food. It was the timed up crane of the neck that got me.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Well, I did want to ask.
I don't even want to ask a football question.
I really don't either. I don't want to pivot, but you do follow so many teams, and you are a voice for a lot of college football, and I know your time's precious, but week one, we've got a lot of games that are huge, massive for the SEC, and we're talking Texas, Ohio State. We're talking Florida State, Bama. The marquee, I'm focusing more on the big ones. Is there – if you said going into this one, this SEC team needs to worry about their week one matchup and this SEC team doesn't, which one would you be? And I'm kind of sticking to like Auburn, Baylor, Texas, Ohio State, Florida State, Bama, LSU, Clemson, LSU. Those four, which SEC team should be worried the most and which one should not?
Auburn should be worried the most. I could say LSU as well. There's going to be a weird answer to this next part. So I think Texas shouldn't be worried. They have a stiffer challenge than anyone, but who's going to hate on you for losing to Ohio State?
Okay.
Who's going to bury you for losing? Now, if you go up there and lose 38-10, Arch throws three picks, okay, well, that's a different story. But Auburn, I mean, like, you remember me and you sat, was it last year or 2 years ago? Like, you were pretty animated in your feeling that Freeze wasn't going to get the job done. And I disagreed. Well, here we are 2 years later, and that's like when the haters hit me up. Half the time they're right. I'm thinking to myself, now maybe this isn't going to work out. But if it does, it's got to work out this year. You don't have runway anymore. In other words, so when the college football season starts and the live bullets start flying, no matter how much you've predicted and how well thought out your predictions have been, week one takes a wrecking ball to something you thought. So people are going to spend their time building Auburn up enough to where they could see a path. And I'll participate in that for obvious reasons. But what if they go to Baylor and it's 23-0 at halftime? And what if the offense is just dead on arrival? And what if Jackson Arnold doesn't look much different? What if he looks every bit as uncomfortable as he did? Baylor is his own story at that point. But you've still got your whole conference schedule to play. And we start to enter the kinds of conversations that Mike Norvell had last year. Now, that's like the disaster scenario. But my point is, I think people are going to be fooled by just seeing that Big 12 sticker and saying, all right, well, that'll be a good solid test. No, they could beat your tail in week one. That's what could happen. And you're going to go do it on a Friday night, which means the whole country's watching instead of having their attention fragmented all over the place. So I think pretty clearly my answer is Auburn. Like, you could sell me on LSU, but LSU, I'd say the same thing I would say about Texas. You go and get a hard-fought L at Clemson or at Ohio State, there's no shame in that because everyone knows you could have scheduled East Texas State. You could have won in week one, 50-0. Good for you for challenging yourself. We learned a lot. Lick your wounds. You're not out of anything. Go back. But if Auburn, if they lose competitively to Baylor, it's not the end of the world. But if it's, like, definitive, you may not get your season back at that point.
Well, Shane asked more about a team-specific, but what about conference-wide?
ACC. Oh, by 10 miles, ACC. ACC could have a disaster week one. So think about this, and I'm not even going to start with the marquees. Georgia Tech goes to Colorado. Now, I'd pick Georgia Tech in the game, but they're doing that at the same time TCU is playing Belichick in North Carolina, and then you got Bama at Florida State, and you got LSU at Clemson, and you've got Miami facing Notre Dame at home. You've got Syracuse playing Tennessee. Virginia Tech's playing South Carolina. These are all games you're going to be either a short favorite in or a dog in, and your conference could have an utter disaster on its hands. Now, it could also set itself up for the rest of the year, and it could set itself up for the end of the year getting benefit of the doubt if it, you know, goes like 6-2 against out-of-conference opponents in week one. But I'm thinking about the opposite. I'm thinking about where we ended up last year. We had like an SMU-Alabama debate or an SMU-Ole Miss, SMU-South Carolina. But it was SMU and an SEC team. And if your conference implodes in on itself in week one, that's going to be held against you, as it should, towards the end of the year, when we're looking at strength of schedule, and maybe you're 10-2, and maybe that SEC team's 9-3, but if the SEC's shined and out of conference play and just beat up on itself, and you guys couldn't get the job done, and you just like, you know, just fumbled it fantastically out of the gate, that to me, from a conference standpoint, like, that's a huge storyline in week one.
Do you think, I mean, expansion's not really been talked about here lately, but it has been during talking season. Do you think that the SEC should look at expanding at some point? And if so, is there any teams that you think should fit that blueprint?
Well, the blueprint to me is way different than how executives talk about the blueprint. Because if a university president or Greg Sankey himself were sitting here, they would be talking in terms of viewership, media markets, all that stuff. I don't care about that because I don't run a network. So I've always thought about whether you're a fit or not. So Clemson's obviously a fit. Florida State's obviously a fit. And then some guy in a really expensive suit will tell you, yeah, but. So, okay, I don't need you to expand. I'd rather you contract, honestly. I think 16 is too many. So, but if you did expand, I mean, I'm almost at the point where if you expanded, then I'd love you to cut the division or cut the conference in half again so I can have like some kind of division play or even quad play and go 4-4-4-4. But the imbalance in the schedule is insane right now. The ability or the reality, I guess, is the better word, that Missouri and Florida play in the same conference, to look at those two schedules is crazy to me. So I'm not a big expansion guy to begin with, but I've also learned when it's the quietest, that's usually when the most is going on behind the scenes. So I never know.
All right, last thing I got for you, Josh. All week we're brought to you by MyBookie. They're our presenting sponsor. They're funding us to be here. So we are asking everybody that sits down for their MyBookie boldest take of the season. You have an SEC bold take. Could be any team. Could be conference-wide. Could be whatever you want. You have a bold take heading into the year.
My bold take is that OU and Florida are both top 10 caliber teams that I'm not willing to necessarily predict finishing in the top 10 because of the schedule there. But if you're going power rating style, independent of schedule, I think they both got really good teams. I think I may favor either one of them to battle Clemson to win the ACC. I'd pick either one of them to win the Big 12. I think really, really highly of the way Napier's been so diligent. But he was dead in the water last year, by the way, and stuck to his guns and has been so diligent in just sticking to his process. I happen to believe in it. And then also with Oklahoma, Venables has tried everything. Like, he turned over every rock. Love the fact that in this day and age you can go get a quarterback and his coordinator and he's both come in. But I think people outside of Norman are probably a little bit underselling the quality of personnel they have. And they look at last year, and as a record, it was a disaster. I don't think it was a disaster as a team. I think they had very, very terminal flaws in specific areas. And if they address that, I mean, you can look at their schedule and how tough it is, but then if they've addressed it, if I happen to be right about either or both of those teams, that also means you got to play them. Like when Texas goes to Gainesville or when Auburn goes to Norman, well, that means you got a huge task on your hands as well. So if either one of them could go 9-3, I think they're in the postseason.
Yeah, he talks about Napier being dead. I mean, they booed him out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Even when Paul was down there doing his live show, they were all chanting in the background, "We want Kiffin."
I remember you going back in the locker room at Miami game on the – I don't know, there was a – video or picture of you on the computer there. I was like,
see, that stuff's not supposed to exist.
Yeah,
it's just not there. Supposed to exist there.
Last thing I've got for you, man, because I'll never forget, man, I just made this wonderful plate of nachos, right? I mean, it was,
now you know why I look.
No. It was perfect. Like, I even layered it so there'd be cheese on each layer. Yep. And I get down, I open up the computer, and the first thing I see is Josh Pate working out at another fucking gym. And I'm just like, damn, here I am with these nachos. But I said, he's human. He's human. Pate's human.
Yeah.
He's got to be human. When you have a cheat day, what is your, like, what is the one meal you go to or I don't know, dessert or something? You're just like, okay, we're going to cheat today. This is what I'm going
to
do.
We got a place. You ever been to Giovanni's, the Italian place in Nashville? I highly recommend it. I never learned to pronounce spaghetti the right way, so it's just Pischetti to me.
Yeah.
When I go to Giovanni's, every bit of discipline, every bit of anything I know about dietary restriction is out the window. And I go for it. And I can eat a ton. I can eat a ton if I commit myself to it. And so when we go in there, I'll go every course, and I'll like double up on dessert. And, you know, like Savannah, I will make her order one of the desserts so that I don't get the side eye from the waiter. And, like, he doesn't care, but I care for my own sake. So when we walk out of there, I wear loose clothing. I wear the loosest clothing. Like those programs, they'll give me the pullovers when you go there. That's when I'm wearing the Virginia Tech pullover when I'm going to Giovanni's in Nashville.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell our audience, they know already, I'm sure, but how to follow you, how to find your work.
Yeah. It's just Josh Pate's College Football Show, wherever you get anything.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Absolutely.